Take your Bibles, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22. Proverbs, chapter number 22. We'll read the first seven verses this evening responsively. I'll read verse number 1, and you'll join me on verse number 2, all the way through verse number 7. Proverbs, chapter number 22, beginning in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter number 22, the Bible says in verse number 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's no place I don't think that I'd rather be this evening, Lord, than here. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of these, your people. Lord, many today spending time teaching a Sunday school class, driving a Sunday school bus, Lord, loving folks, being an encouragement to one another. Lord, thank you for what's taken place here today already. But Lord, tonight is another service. Lord, it's not any less important, Lord, any time the Word of God is preached and open. Lord, I truly believe it's the most important thing, Lord, that we can give our attention to. May tonight we do just that, yielded to the Holy Spirit, listening to the teaching of God's Word. We'll ask that you speak to our heart, that you'd encourage us and strengthen us to do more for you. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. America is a land of plenty. We enjoy more freedom and more wealth than virtually any other country in the world. If you've never left the shores of this country, you have no idea. I mean that. What you think, you say, well, China has a bigger economy than ours, and the people live in total depravity. Right. We live in a land of plenty. Yes. It's not always been that way, nor does it mean it will stay that way. God does not promise wealth to us. He does promise that we will not go without our needs met if we live wisely. America can only live on credit so long. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 24. Proverbs 27, verse 24. "For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation?" We better be careful. We've lived off the fatness of the land, but the crown can change our riches. You're seeing it happen. America is over $28 trillion in debt. That doesn't make America wealthy. Just because you have 15 credit cards doesn't mean that you're living well. God is not against debt, but he gives us principles by which we should live financially. And I'm here to tell you, we ought to be prepared for the days that lie ahead, because the days of Jimmy Carter are going to be reinstated and then some. And if you went through the 70s, you remember how tough it was? It's about to get worse. At least Jimmy Carter had a brain that slipped. Ours has already had it fall out his ear. The Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold." God's talking here about a good name financially. It's not just your reputation, but your reputation is partially based off of how you run your finances.
Yes,
sir. What's this mean? It means a good man can get what he needs in hard times. If things are hard, could you borrow money? Or are you so stretched out credit limit wise, you don't have the wherewithal to do it? Everybody doing okay? It does not mean that you're wealthy. It means you could find work to pay your bills.
Yes.
It means You could actually get a loan if needed, not just juggling debt like America does. God is not a genie in the bottle, and he's not the lottery that you play the numbers right and shazam, I got all this money. God expects us to live by the principles of this book financially. And I'm here to tell you, Christians are in sad shape. I know people who believe, people that, well, the end is near, so I'm just going to max everything out because I'm not going to be here to pay it off. I know people that have lost their marriages. I know people that have lost their homes several times over because of mess like that. If you believe the person that just came to my office believing the world's going to end by September 21st, you know, yeah, max it out. But what happens on September 22nd?
That's right.
And there's a lot of people that live that way. God expects us to live right all the way to the end. I believe in being fiscally responsible as a Christian and as an American citizen. Here's the problem. Most Christians don't even know if they're if they're okay financially or not. We lie to ourselves so much that we think we are in better shape than we really are. We've accepted the world's philosophy of buy now on credit and make enough to make the payments and I'm doing okay. Everybody doing okay? Smile, I love you. But the other shoe's about to drop. You would be shocked at how many people don't realize how close to financial calamity that they really are. Could you go 30 days without a paycheck? Could you go 60 days? Now, I'm not one of these people that believes debt is of the devil. Bible talks about usury. And all debt is not bad debt. Most people aren't going to save up $250,000 and buy a house. I get that. But not everybody needs $250,000 house either. Everybody doing okay? It takes humility to get riches. Proverbs chapter 22, we read verses 3 through 5. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. In other words, we ought to see the evil that's coming and hide ourselves from it. But the simple pass on and are punished. I wonder how many people are going to be punished by all the new tax laws and all the other things because they didn't see what was coming. Capital gains is coming back. Death tax is coming back. Some of you ought to prepare for the next generation to receive your inheritance by doing some things that you can do that won't cause your children to have to give half of your wealth back to the government. If your family leaves you $100,000, according to the new capital gains, you'll pay $48,000 to $50,000 of it back in taxes. There's ways around it, but you better foresee the evil and hide yourself. Now, everybody doing all right? Okay. It takes humility to get riches, but it doesn't take humility to get wealthy. God wants us to look ahead and plan, but I'm going to tell you something, thorns and snares are going to be in your way along the path. It's not going to be easy. Now, let me help you tonight. I've got about 30 minutes. I'll give you a little bit of it back, I promise. Number one, are you in trouble financially? Say, not me, preacher. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 23. This ought to be a verse that you as a married couple or a single person ought to know. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth not the crown endure to every generation. God's talking about here, do you know what the state of your flocks are? The flocks were a person's wealth. Do you know where your wealth is? Do you know how much you have? Do you know what your debt is? Do you know how much debt you have? Do you know what your finances are, your income and your outgo? Do you know what your interest rates are on all the loans that you have? Most people I counsel on finances have no idea all they owe. Usually it takes me two times and two trips before I get the whole story. I'll tell them, you bring me all of your debt, all of your bills, every one of them. They'll bring a stack in. I'll say, okay, now what family members do you owe? Oh, you didn't say that. Oh, that's a debt. And what about this? Well, I owe on a student loan, but I don't have to pay that back. Yes, you do. To be an honest person, you do. Well, I got this other debt, but I really don't have to make payments on that. You know, it's just my back taxes to the IRS. They'll wait. Once we finally get, well, I'll have to look up how much that is. Yeah, come back when you get all that. We don't know how much debt we're really in. We hide our debt. Let me say this as your pastor. I'm not against online banking. I don't do it. It's an easy way for you not to know what the state of your flocks are. I still believe in keeping a checkbook register. I like having it on paper. Now, if you pay your bills online, I'm not against that. I'm not saying there's anything sinful about it, but most of you that do your online banking, you say, well, yeah, I can pull it up and it tells me right here how much I have. That's not true. Not totally. Because that doesn't show up until you've already spent your money. It doesn't come out immediately like if you kept a checkbook. My wife and I have a Cabela's credit card. I pay most everything we have on the same account. She has one, I have one. We pay almost all of our monthly expenses on that one card. And I write one check at the end of the month because I get Cabela's points and I get all my free hunting stuff that way, amen? If I'm gonna do it, might as well get something for it. Now, wait a minute. I have the ability to do that. But when I spend money, I get a receipt, I give it to her, and she takes it out of the checkbook immediately. And at the end of the month, she tallies up all the receipts, and it should match the Cabela's bill. I've already taken it out of my account as I used it. I don't wait to the end of the month to take it out. Everybody doing okay? I use it just like you should use a debit card. I take it out immediately the moment that it is spent. You say, why do you do that, preacher? You're going to write a check for it anyway. Yeah, but in my own bookkeeping, it's already spent. You already spent it. Well, it didn't come out of the bank yet. It doesn't have to. It came out of your account. It's going to come out when you write the check. And if you spend $1,200 a month on your credit card, and you've already said, well, I got $1,000 extra. I could go buy this. And you go buy that. Now, how are you going to pay that bill off at the end of the month? I keep a zero balance on this thing. I pay it off every month. I don't have any rollover. I have zero interest on it because of that. I don't pay any interest on that card. And it's a cheap way for me to get stuff that I want for hunting. Okay. But notice I take the money out the moment that it's spent out of my checkbook. And at the end, we add those up. And they should match. Everybody doing okay? Say, what is that, knowing the state of my finances? Let me give you eight questions here. How do you know if you're in trouble financially? Number one, if you don't know how much debt you owe and you're afraid to add it up. If you're afraid to look into how much debt you really have, you're in trouble. Or you don't know how much you owe. Number two, I better turn my back. If you only make minimum payments on all your debt. If you owe $5,000 on a credit card at 15% interest, you're going to end up paying $20,000 over the life of that loan. That's called usury. Compounding interest. You say, what is it? It compounds your life. You're padding everybody else's pockets. So if you only make minimum payments on credit cards, you're in trouble financially. If you keep having to increase debt limits on credit cards because you can't pay your other debts, you're in trouble financially. Or if you have to keep getting more cards. That was number four. Number five, if you get new cards to make payments on other credit cards, you're in trouble. Now, I, like you, have had everything has changed in the last 2 years a lot credit card wise. And if a person that's got decent credit, you can get very low interest rate or 0% cards. Be careful on some of your 0% cards because most of them have a disclaimer. Well, you have 18 months, 0% interest. But if you don't pay it all off in 18 months, you pay back all the interest that was owed on that. And then you're going to get hammered for a couple $1,000s. Yeah, buddy, transaction fees and everything else. Now, sometimes it's worth paying $100, $150 to save 15% interest. I'll grant you that. Sometimes it's worth the hit to get it paid off early, and I understand that. And sometimes that's a calculated debt that you go into. But may I say something? Most people, you just get new cards because you got to have it to juggle your debt. If you don't have 2 to 3 months' bills in savings for emergency, you're a little bit in trouble. Number seven, you ready? If you have to work overtime to meet your monthly needs, you're in trouble. You ought to be able to pay your bills off of your monthly regular 40-hour salary. I've lived on salary, since I entered the ministry 32 years ago. I have not been paid hourly since I worked in the machine shop. So my finances are pretty easy to predict, and everybody knows what my finances are because they're printed every month in a monthly church statement. I have no problem with that. But some of you, many of you work hourly or you get bonuses or this or that. And some of you, if you don't have overtime, you're worried about paying the bills. You're in trouble financially. Everybody doing okay? Number eight, if you always seem to never be able to catch up without stress on you financially, you're in trouble. Finances ought not stress you so bad. These, in any of these, are a warning sign. The more of them you have, the more warning you ought to be giving. One of these ought to make you a little bit worried. But if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of these, you're fixed to be in trouble. So, number two, God does not give us wealth. God does not give wealth. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's okay. I'm just accountable to preach it. You're accountable to live it. So am I. Deuteronomy 8, look at verse number 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Notice it doesn't say he gives you wealth. Says he gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now, watch this. It does not say he gives you wealth. He gives you the power to be able to do so. He'll give you the ability to make it. He'll give you the strength to work. He'll give you the knowledge to be able to manage it. But if you get yourself in the way, you're destroying your own power. Money is power. That's why people kill for it. God gives strength, power, ability, and wisdom to get the wealth we need. Folks, I'm not in the ministry to make a lot of money. Everybody doing okay? I know pastors that won't take a church and won't pastor that church unless they have six-figure income. God bless them. I went 2.5-3 months with no salary. I started church and I wouldn't even let you give me a salary at first. Then when the men met and wanted to give me a salary, I cut it way down. They were mad. I was happy. They wanted to give me more, and I had more, and I gave a bunch of it back when we went through a building program, and still haven't taken it all back. Tell you why, because I wanted to make sure that I was able to hire him, wanted to make sure she got a good raise before I did, and I'm doing quite fine. Don't worry about it. God gives strength, God gives power, God gives ability, and God gives wisdom to get the wealth we need. See, you look at that word wealth and you think that means excess. Wealth means the ability to live comfortably within your realm of finances. I wrote this statement down. Being out of the hole doesn't mean you can just make your payments. It means having money put away that's working for you. Everybody doing all right? God wants you to have your money work for you, not you be a slave to your debt. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27 again. Well, we're back at Proverbs 22. Look at verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. How much are you being punished by your interest rates? Proverbs 27, look at verse number 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Oh, I got to have this, so I got to go get a new credit card. I'll get a $2,500 credit limit and pay 18% interest. Because I just got to have this. Well, every bitter thing, every sweet thing will be bitter. Say, oh, I got it. There's a difference in you gotta and you wanna. Use wisdom and let money work for you. Don't be a slave to money. Too many people are a slave to this right here, the almighty dollar. I wonder how many marriages would have less trouble if mom and dad both didn't have to work 50, 60 hours to pay all their debt. Because they've got 3 or 4 cars, they've got a huge house, they've got a huge mortgage. They've got all the toys, they've got all the best of the best, and they don't have time to enjoy it because they're so busy working. And then they wonder why their kids don't turn out and their kids are a mess because they're never home to rear their kids. They got to pay for their kids to get reared by somebody else. How about we ask God for work, not the miracle of money? You know, I don't know many times God ever had money fall out of the sky. Matter of fact, never saw it one time. I think it was Brother Hiles said, yeah, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
That's right.
You know, the harder you work, the more God blesses. It's not a matter of how lucky you are. It's a matter of how hard you work. And it's amazing. Ask a busy man, you'll get it done. Ask a lazy man, it'll never get done. You want something done? Find somebody who's too busy to get it done. They'll get it done for you. How about we ask God for good health and good wisdom so that we could have good finances and we wouldn't be a slave to our debt. So God does not give wealth. He gives power and strength and wisdom to get the wealth we need to accomplish what we need to accomplish in life. Number 3. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on this and you're not going to like me. Ways to wisely improve your finances. Folks, this is a very simple biblical sermon tonight. Some of you, it's basics, but I found out a long time ago, we all need to hit the basics again. First of all, we ought to tithe. Malachi 3:10 and 11. God says the tithe is the Lord's. The word tithe doesn't mean just 10%. It means first 10. The first 10% of all your increase. I wouldn't fight anybody. Some people say, well, when I get my tax check, I don't tithe on that because I already tithed on it. No, you didn't have that money. You tithed on your gross. Yes, you did. But you didn't have that money when it comes. I don't think God'd be upset if you tithed on it. That's for sure. All your increase, all your side jobs, all your other little things that come in. I preached out of town recently, and the church gave my wife and I a check. I tithed on it. By the way, I spent some of it on the pastor and his wife. They didn't know it, but I did. Say, why'd you do that? Because I believe in, by the way, I gave an offering while I was at their church too. Say, why? Because I believe in supporting the work of God no matter where it's at, and not just my own. Boy, that's good stuff. Of all your increase, God says he will bless you. He'll open the windows of heaven. He'll pour out a blessing. And he said he would rebuke the devourer. Now watch this. I believe that if you tithe scripturally, God rebukes the devourer. Say, what does the word devour mean? Fellas, that's what you did at lunch today. All right? You sat down like a blind dog in a meat house. You just devoured it. There are things that come your way that will devour your finances. I believe God will help your car last a little longer. Your tires might last a little longer. Your refrigerator won't go out as often. Some of the things that we have might last a little longer because we're obeying God. That's what God's talking about there. The little things that come to devour your finances, like a bunch of little piranha, may not come and devour you if you're obeying God in your tithe. So, I believe we ought to tithe. Did you know you don't have to have every new iPhone and new iPad and all the new electronics when they come out? Sorry, I don't even know how much a new iPhone costs. Probably what, $1,200, $1,500? Anybody know? About $1,500. Yeah, I'm just saying. I have no idea.
It's like $700.
Yeah, I guess you can get. But seriously, I mean, they're advertised at $1,200, $1,300, $1,400. I'm sure you can get a deal somewhere. But may I say something? Every year they come out with a new one. That's $700 a year. That's $50 a month or more, $60 a month at $700 a year. That's on top of your phone bill that you're probably paying $100, $150, $200 a month for. Just because it's a new month, well, it's faster, preacher. Nanoseconds don't mean much. Most of you won't understand a nanosecond. Yeah. Can you still get a text? Do you get your email? And can you make a phone call on it? Past that, you don't need the faster speeds. You don't need three cameras. You can only use one at a time anyway, and most of you wouldn't know what to do with it. I love you. But it's got this. They saw you coming. If you're struggling financially, why are you paying $70, $80, $90, $100 a month for cable and satellite television? Okay, that one went over like a lead balloon. $100 a month, there goes $1,200 a year. Wonder how $1,200 a year would be on one of your credit cards. Maybe you ought to learn to shop at secondhand stores. I couldn't do that. Well, I do. My wife and I, last Tuesday, went to, what's the name of that place? Act 2 up in Hagerstown. I bought 3 suits. This is one of them. Do you know I only have 2 suits in my closet that were bought at a store off the shelf? Every suit I wear, I get used. I think this is one of the most expensive suits I've gotten there. It's like $30. Yeah. You know, I can buy 10 suits there for 1 suit at Kohl's or Penny's or somewhere. And if you looked at the name brand on some of these are $500-$600 suits. I wear suits hard. Suits are my work clothes. Brother Mike, it's like your khakis and blue jeans and concrete boots, amen? Those are my work clothes. So I wear them hard. Say, what do? I'll go buy a used one, wear it for a year or two, throw it away and go get another one. You have to understand, I put this suit on at 4:45 this morning. Hasn't been off yet. It's that way almost every day. I wear them hard. Okay. But I can get 10 of them. I couldn't afford to clothe myself if I have to go buy a new, you know, 10 new suits. I don't have the money sitting there in savings to go out and buy 3 brand new suits. But I have the money to go to used place and get them. Matter of fact, saw one for Brother Juan, picked him up a suit coat. You know, you got to get the monkey size, you know, baboon size for him, you know. I won't tell him what it is, Brother Juan. Brother Josh just got out of the little boy section, too. Can I tell you something? Maybe we ought to humble ourselves, and you don't have to have the best of everything. Somebody lied to you when you have to buy the most expensive thing because it's going to last the longest. Most of you spend far more than you should. Well, I'm getting higher quality and don't realize that the lowest quality was made in the same shop. You don't do enough research to find out. Call your internet provider and talk down how much they cost you yearly. You know, some of them, well, you have this entry for 2 years, you can pay this, at the end of year number 2, it doubles. And you've been paying double. Tell them either you want the deal or you're calling somebody else. They'll knock it down, trust me. Some of you pay way too much for some of your services because you've been with them so long. As the prices went up and there's new deals out there, you don't check those new deals and get the price. It's called shopping. I just don't want to waste time doing that. How much money are you wasting? If your internet went up by $50 a month, that's $600 a year. Is your time to make a phone call worth $600 a year? It is for me. By the way, you don't have to have internet at home. Unless you use it for work, you don't have to have it. Ouch. Maybe I learned how to fix things instead of just throwing away and buying something new. Some things can be repaired. Now, they're making it harder and harder these days. But there's always a way. 1-800-MEL-BUSH. He'll fix it. Amen? You don't have to eat out every day. Amen. I'm talking sheets. Okay, I know I'm in West Virginia, but it amazes me how you all rank gas stations in the area by how good the chicken is. Gotcha. I was with a guy the other day. He said, hey, preacher, have you seen the new gas station down here by the jail? They got good chicken. I thought I was going to fall out of my truck. Folks, I don't go to the gas stations to eat. I go there to fill up my car or my truck. That's it. Maybe you ought to carry your lunch to work and not just carry your lunch to work, but only eat that which you carried and not eat that for your stack and then eat out. maybe instead of spending $1.50, $2, $3 on a drink, you take a thermos or you buy a case of water.
Amen.
Or do what I do and get a bottle of water that I didn't finish in church on Sunday, and I have one sitting on my desk right now that I go to the drinking fountain to fill up every day. I don't go get a new bottle. I don't have to open a brand new bottle. You know, the water isn't that much different. Well, this is bottled water. It's good. Do you know that that goes through the same, less purification than the water we have in the drinking fountain? Most of that is purified water. It's not, well, it's natural spring water. You probably believe the news, too. Get rid of as much of your credit debt as you can. Credit card debt, especially the high interest ones. Now, if you have multiple credit cards, let me give you a plan. Pay the lowest one off first. I don't care about interest rates. Once you pay that lowest one off, take that payment and add it to the next one and pay that one off. Then you take the combination of those two payments and add it to the next one. And I promise you, you'll get out of debt a whole lot faster. Some of you want to take the one with the highest debt. Well, that's got the high. No, don't worry about that right now. You're already locked into it. Knock off all those small ones. You'll end up with $200 or $300 or $400 extra a month to throw on that thing. And when you throw $400 or $500 a month extra on a credit card, you watch that ding, 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 start coming down pretty fast. I know what I'm talking about. If you can, survive with only one credit card and pay it off every month. Only in an emergency should you use a second one. I'm just telling you how to live. I was talking to somebody in our church, younger person. I told them to get a credit card because in this world, you can't do anything without a credit card. You can't rent a car. You can't, I mean, it's virtually impossible. And I said, but do this. Let's build your credit rating. Use it just for your fuel. Subtract it from your checking account as soon as you do it. And I taught him how to do it. And do that for a couple months. He's doing that. His credit rating starts going bing, 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 bing. I said, okay, now let's add your groceries to it. Same thing. Subtract it out. And he started adding things, and he started learning how to use that card to where now that card's working for him. I think if you can find a credit card that works for you, okay, I got one from Cabela's. You say, why? Because that's my play money. Maybe you want United Airlines or Southwest Airlines for flying somewhere. Great, go for it. I'm not against it. But pay it off every month. Carry a zero balance every month. Keep home improvements to an emergency. You shouldn't have to necessarily go in debt for home improvement. I'm getting ready to go do some home improvement on my house. Getting ready to put a deck on. I'm going to use my Cabela's card, but I got the cash to do it. Tell you why you're going to do that, because I get all those points. But I'll pay it off. Everybody doing all right? But I waited until I had the money to pay it off. Check your mortgage rates. Sometimes it's a good idea to change. Sometimes it's not. 2.5 years ago when I bought my house, my mortgage rate was at 5.5%. I've refinanced my house twice, and I'm at 2.85%. I've cut my payment by 35%. And by the way, I closed in such a way, I didn't have any closing fees added on top of that. Some of these companies, they can refinance you, but you're going to pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to refinance. Not good. Well, I got to have the money. Shop around. Use the money that you save and pay off debt. Or put it in savings. Live off 40 hours. Use your overtime for debt retirement, for your retirement. Put it away. Save it. Boy, I'm really going to get in trouble for this one. I love you. I don't even want to look at anybody's face. But I would not pay any money for any video games that I would play online. Man, preacher! I know in the last 3 weeks, I've talked to that many adult men that spend as much as $100 to $150 a month in video games online and all their hardware and everything else. Do me a favor, sell all that junk and spend time with your family. Time to grow up. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. We wonder why we don't communicate with people, and we wonder why we're financially in trouble. You're spending that much on a game? If you want to go golfing every week, you spend $40 to go golfing, go for it, as long as you're not going in debt to do it. If you've got a lot of retired guys go golfing every week, great. I have no problem with it because they have the money to do it. But if you have to put it on a credit card every time to do it because you can't afford it, don't go. It's real simple. There's so many things I want to say. I'm going to stop. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Let me ask you a question. Could people follow you around to all the businesses that you've ever done business with, and the people with whom you did business, you could recommend people to go see them? I'll promise you. Brother Mike's done it. He'll say, preacher, I got something. You know anybody in this business? Yes, go see him, tell him I sent you. Some of you ladies, you need work done. You'll say, preacher, go see this person and tell them I sent you. And I'll guarantee the first thing they say is, oh, Pastor Bush. They know me. Say why? Because I've tried to have a good name financially. Our bills are paid at the church. We were late one time on one bill because when we switched properties, they didn't transfer the address. And it was a phone bill, $19.97 or something. Finally got it worked out. I mean, that's the worst we've been late on. And it was just a clerical error. Okay, go hurt me. Now, there's times it got pretty tight. There's times I didn't take a paycheck. There's times I didn't take all of a paycheck. Say why? Because we had to pay the bills years ago. Say why? Because I believe in paying our debt. God will take care of me. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing financially? Every head bowed, every eye closed.